Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Arvind Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Satya Prakash Mishra. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. A warm welcome to the earnings conference call of Arvind Limited. Thank you for taking your time out to participate in today's call to discuss the operational and financial results for the first quarter of a fresh new financial year 2025-26. I am pleased to be joined by Mr. Punit Lalbhai, the Vice Chairman, Mr. Jayesh Shah, Whole-Time Director and Group CFO, Mr. Sushil Kaul, our Managing Director and President, Textile Business, Mr. Gurpreet Singh Bhatia, CEO of AMD Business, and CFO, Mr. Nigam Shah. The financial results for the quarter and related presentations were uploaded to our website. Hope you had enough time to go through it. Before diving into the operational and financial performance for the past quarter, let's briefly review the key developments over the last three months. As anticipated and discussed in our last quarter call, the year FY26 started with uncertainty around U.S. tariffs and is likely to persist at least for one more quarter. We were the first in the industry to call out these ensuing events and made you all aware of its consequences. Having said that, the past quarter delivered a steady performance for the company, but since it was built on a softer base from the last year, direct comparisons don't reflect the full picture, given the different dynamics. Each quarter is better assessed on its individual merits. While I'll request Punit to give you broad contours of the quarter's performance in his part of the comments, I'll start with the management's action on countermeasures to alleviate growth concerns and preservation of margin during the quarter and going forward. We have proactively responded with a comprehensive cost optimization program, which is already showing early signs of impact. We are also renegotiating vendor contracts, optimizing cost, and increasing operational efficiency in our operations, collaborating closely with vendor partners, many of whom have shown strong support and flexibility. We believe that by working in tandem with our customers and suppliers, we can navigate this volatile period effectively and emerge stronger. While the order book for the quarter two is locked in and looks strong, future quarters are also looking equally promising on the back of higher volume commitment secured as a trade-off against sharing of tariff burden. The recent India-U.K. trade agreement is expected to unlock significant opportunity for the Indian textile exporters. Arvind currently does about 200 crores of business in the U.K. market, and with the new trade enablers, we expect this to double in the next few years. Coming to the operational performance highlights for the quarter, fabric business, denim and woven particularly, have achieved high single-digit volume growth and improved realizations, leading to double-digit revenue growth, partly aided by the low base that I spoke of. Garmenting has delivered 9.8 million pieces, the highest quarterly output in the last 3 years. AMD as a whole reported a volume growth of 16%. AMD's mass transport business secured a large order worth 200 crores to be executed in the next few years for the Vande Bharat program of Indian Railways, which further builds on the product profile of the division. As we have guided in the previous quarter call, quarter one margins were impacted due to tariff-related cost absorption. These include higher discounts, shorter lead-time orders leading to higher operating costs, and use of air freight to meet urgent demand. Total tariff-related cost impact across our businesses is around 15 crores in quarter one, which has significantly affected the margins. However, the mitigation plan will start yielding some benefit and will majorly be visible in the second half of the year. Now, let me give you the summary of financial performance during the quarter. Consolidated revenue and EBITDA for the quarter grew by 10% and 14% respectively and stood at 2,006 crores and 186 crores. This works out to an EBITDA margin of 9.3%. Reported profit after tax stood at 53 crores, which is a growth of 35% on a year-on-year basis. Coming to segment-wise performance, in quarter one, textile division revenue grew by 14% and stood at 1,536 crores, with an EBITDA of 130 crore, translating into an EBITDA margin of 8.4%. The said revenue includes garmenting division revenue of 485 crores, which is highest ever quarterly performance for the division. During the quarter, AMD division has reported a revenue of 351 crores, which is a growth of 7%. EBITDA for the same period stood at 45 crores with a margin of around 13%. AMD margin, normalizing the impact of tariff, which I spoke of earlier, including air freight and short duration order cost, should have stood at 15%. Looking ahead, we expect Q2 to be more stable operationally. We are witnessing a healthy order pipeline across fabric, garmenting and advanced material segments. We are optimistic about achieving garment volume growth of 14 to 17% in the full year of FY26. AMD is also expected to achieve a growth in mid-teens. However, the cost overhang from tariff will continue to weigh in on margins in the near term. That said, we anticipate stronger performance in second half of FY26, which has historically been a better half for our business. With growing commitments from our customers and increased volumes, we expect gradual margin normalization in the second half. Our CapEx program is progressing as planned. We have invested 100 crores in quarter one and remain on course to spend about 450 to 475 crores through the year, largely directed towards enhancing capacity and capability across segments. To summarize, despite a challenging start, FY26 is shaping up to be a year of growth for Arvind. While margins will remain under pressure in the first half, we are confident that recovery will happen in second half, backed by volume commitments and operational efficiencies. We remain committed to delivering on our long-term strategic goal and thank all our stakeholders for their continued trust and support. With this, I now hand over to Puneet to give his views on the performance of the company and a broad outlook for the rest of the year. Over to you.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you all today. Thanks, Satya, for giving us this detailed update on quarter one. As he has covered most of what happened in quarter one, let me give you some sort of perspective on a couple of highlights and a more midterm view. So I think there are three or four things that are important to understand about this quarter. I think the tariff saga has gone on much longer than initially expected. And because the resolution is still uncertain, it is leading to some uncertainty in demand as well. We are hopeful that quarter two should see this uncertainty go away with some final version of tariffs getting frozen. Our current expectation is that India will be at a relative advantage. Of course, this process is unpredictable and the final result needs to be awaited. But generally, in discussion with all customers and stakeholders, we feel optimistic about India's relative position as far as the US is concerned. We have a lot of increased interest in sourcing from India, particularly in garments and full package solutions. The other significant work stream that has seen progress is the India-UK FTA. Currently, India does about $1 billion of export in garments to the UK. And with this, I think that business should at a minimum double, because we are at a relative advantage compared to our nearest competitors. So all efforts to sort of reprioritize effort towards winning in the UK market will now commence. And I think both India and Arvind stand to gain from this. I think our garment expansion, I'm happy to say, is on track. We have already achieved a 10 million per quarter run rate as we speak, which is going to further accelerate as the year progresses. So we are on track of the initially guided mid 40 million kind of garment number going forward, and we should see robust growth. So I'm quite happy and pleased with how the capacity expansion is playing out in the garments area. Advanced materials is a story of flood and drought, both at the same time. We had initially guided that there will be some margin pressure due to tariff uncertainty overhangs and opportunistic demand requiring some air freights. That has played out as expected. However, what was not expected was some delay in orders in defense and composites. So if you remove the defense miss, which is more of a delayment than a disappearance, we would have achieved, you know, close to 20% top line growth in AMD. We feel that defense will take another quarter to come back on stream. The other miss was composites, which is a project business where the delays were account of customers waiting to see how the tariffs would land before initiating the capital investment cycle. And now the good news is that quarter two onwards, that order book has ramped up back to expected levels. And so the only sort of continuing uncertainty is around the defense portfolio. Everything else, both industrials and the human protection minus defense, we are in a situation of a problem of plenty where all our factories are running at more than 100% capacity. We've also had to take some calls to accommodate business that wanted to move to India. So that has in the short term affected margins because we wanted to ensure that that move happens. Those margins will now get optimized. So lot of positives happening on, you know, the demand side, and our capacities are sort of bursting at the seams. So we are very actively increasing capacities, especially in garmenting, for the human protection business. Industrial fabrics continues to beat the budgeted levels and do extremely well. So this explains, you know, the AMD performance. We do see a similar margin overhang in quarter two. We see defense being weaker than expected in quarter two. We see composites coming back on track, and we see everything else slightly outperforming, you know, what we thought at the beginning of the year. I think by the time Q3 rolls around, we should be back to, you know, sort of business as usual on AMD. And I think the final thing that I'd like to talk about before we sort of open up the floor for questions is the projects that we are doing that are inward facing. Turbulent times and uncertain times are, you know, a great opportunity to focus inwards and improve the state of our business. And we have taken on Project Edge, which looks to sort of improve our cost position by focusing on efficiency and automation. And another project that we have taken to improve our systems and processes. So a lot of work, good work is happening on the internal aspects of improving efficiency and competitiveness. And I'm sure that these will pay dividends going forward. And we are in the early stages, so I cannot give you numerical projections on how this will pan out, but very pleased with the initial traction that these initiatives are receiving internally. So with this, I open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations. And thank you for detailed scenario that we are working in today. So that really helps. My first question is actually on AMD, that you mentioned that defense is weaker than expectation. Is it India business or is it U.S. business? I mean, just trying to understand from the geography perspective.
So most of our defense business, Prerna, currently is domestic. And there has been sort of a rethink in the way that they want to manage inventories. And so the orders are not going according to, you know, the initial projection. And so it's a correction phase where people feel that the inventories need to sort of realign before they start reordering. This has happened unexpectedly. However, there are many more defense projects also in the pipeline. So it is a question of, you know, one or two big programs seeing a pause while the other programs are under development. So I'm very confident that, you know, we'll be back on stream with, you know, our targeted 10% business for defense going forward. As it is a project business, we cannot expect that things will move, you know, smoothly like, you know, in retail it does, because there is a certain, you know, pipeline that needs to be filled. These will be, you know, sort of bunched up as project businesses generally are. So there will be some lumpiness in demand, and unfortunately the programs that are running extremely well have sort of paused, and the new ones that are supposed to come in has still not come in. So there is that gap that we are experiencing. So I don't think it is anything structural or anything where we have lost an opportunity. It is just a timing issue that wasn't predicted at the beginning of the year.
Okay, that helps, sir. So my second question on AMD only, you mentioned most of the capacities are running almost full. Could you help us understand what kind of capacity additions would be done for driving 20% growth in AMD business?
So we are expanding both our industrial capacity and our human protection capacity. We are also increasing the shifts in which, you know, our factories will be working. So by next quarter, at least a couple of factories will be running a second shift. And we are putting in one more greenfield factory for human protection. So there's a lot of capacity ramp up that is happening. And also we have to get, there is a headroom for 5-6% efficiency improvement, and we are driving that quite aggressively. So that should also increase the capacity. What has happened is a lot of orders have come into factories and the utilization has sort of jumped from 80-90% that was, you know, running quite nicely for, you know, 3-4 years to where
you know, a lot of orders have come in at once and we've gone beyond 100%. So it's taking the system some time to handle all of that, but that's a good problem to have. And that's a sign that people are eager to move volumes in the face of these events, and you've got to take some calls where you know, you will accept things that normally you don't do in steady state. So all of that is happening at the same time. A lot of complexity for the team to manage, and I'm quite happy with how they are battling through this and coming, and they will definitely come out quite strong. If you ask me, we are on track to increase the capacity by 20% by the end of the year, and another 20% will grow in the next financial year. So with all that in place, next year we should be, you know, having enough capacity to satisfy all the demand that comes towards us.
And this demand increase is from US and domestic markets both combined?
So US would be the largest. There's also some demand increase from Middle East. That's not a function of the overall trade rebalancing. That's just because of some of our good groundwork that is paying dividends that we've been working on for a couple of years. So there is demand increase from Middle East and US and also from the UK.
Okay. Understood, sir. Sir, one thing that I wanted to understand is your debt has increased this quarter because from working capital. Are there any payment-related issues, or is it inventory-led wherein, you know, you have produced but it has not been dispatched and should benefit the revenue growth in the coming quarters?
So I think we don't have any payment-related issues. We have gone a little longer on cotton because this is the time where we have to take a call on the next season and how much cotton is going to be available in the period when the arrivals stop. So May to October is when there are generally no arrivals, and based on how much stock farmers and CCI is carrying and the quality of that stock, we take a call on how long to go. So we've decided to go long to cover this season so that we are not dependent. We don't have any demand supply issues as the season ends and the new crop starts to become available. So that's one of the reasons. The second reason is just generally we are, you know, taking this opportunity to relook at payment terms and optimize, you know, the credit cycles and costs. So there is a temporary increase in working capital, but it should, you know, come back to normal turns sometime at the end of Q2 or beginning of Q3. So this is not something that I would worry about.
Okay. And last question on tariff-related cost. If I heard it correct, as Satya mentioned, it's around 15 crore.
15 crores is something that we can directly ascribe to events, but there is some indirect cost also. There will be indirect cost in, you know, sort of disruption of sort of normal planning cycle inside the business where, you know, you are having to chop and change orders, reprioritize orders, so efficiency loss. Because of that, some people prepone, some people postpone. So all those mismatches, capacity utilization is not as efficient as it is in a normal planning cycle. So there would be some additional hidden sort of losses over and above that, but 15 crores can be ascribed to, you know, sort of things that we can directly pinpoint, like air freight, like discounts, like empty capacity, things like that.
So the, how do we see this profitability improving from Q2, or it's largely back-end?
There will be some improvement in Q2, but I think margins will still remain slightly depressed in Q2. But I think everything that needs to be worked out, because we have agreed for, you know, these corrections across Q1 and Q2. And then things will normalize, and then the new inventory, raw materials at the new negotiated prices will also start hitting consumption by Q3. So I expect that we come back to, you know, that overhang gets exhausted by the end of Q2.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. I'll come back to the question queue for anything further. Thank you. And all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. Before we proceed with the next question, ladies and gentlemen, in order to assure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Bhargav Buddhadev from Ambit Asset Management. Please proceed.
Yeah, good afternoon team, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
You're not very audible. I think you might need to come closer to the mic.
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Yeah, much better. Thanks.
Sir, my first question is on this Vande Bharat 200 crore order. So in the press release, it's mentioned that it's a 5-year execution cycle. So is it fair to say that it will be executed in a equivalent manner, meaning 40 crores per year, or how the execution cycle will be?
Broadly, yes, but I mean most of it will start next year. And so it is actually 4 years, so more like 50 crores a year. And it will probably be a little higher in the middle 3 years and nothing in the first year and less in the last year. So might be slightly higher than 50 a year for the next 3 years starting next year.
And related to this question, so is it a start of a new segment where we are entering, meaning can we expect more of such orders to come in, or first?
No, so this segment has been around for 2 years. We've already executed a couple of Vande Bharat orders. This one is quite prestigious because it's a large one, and it's part of our mass transportation composites business. So this will drive up the capacity utilization in that division.
So can we expect more of such?
Yes. We are working on this. So we've done in the past. We've done many metros also. We've done orders for Vande Bharat also. We are doing export orders also in this segment. So that's an ongoing process that we keep hunting for orders. And because this order is large and iconic, that's why we are calling it out. Otherwise, regular orders keep coming, you know, in this segment.
And sir, within garments, the share of knits has been fairly smaller. Incrementally, are we planning to increase the share of knits? Because as this share increases, the margin profile also increases.
So I think margin profile across the board is decent. I think our best margins are actually in denim. However, knits is the fastest growing category, and we are also expanding capacity there. So progressively, we will see that knits will have a better capacity, knits will grow in our overall portfolio relative to the others. And denim should also grow. So these are the two garmenting categories that we are growing faster.
And lastly, sir, is it possible to highlight in terms of the breakup of this 15 crore loss in margin? So is it primarily related to the discounting which the customer is giving, or the productivity loss, or maybe the higher?
So all three put together, but I think the biggest component will actually be air freight. out of this.
Because that's transient, right? Generally, we do FOB, so freight is generally a pass-through, but this is...
yes, but when you're not able to meet a customer commitment, then it is, then the owner shifts to you. And we've planned a few orders because we have to go above our, steady state capacity in some places. There are moments in history where, that chance will only come once. And we are, I think, in that sort of this trade, war and imbalance and rebalance is, one such moment where you have to seize the moment. You will not keep getting this opportunity. So if you say no now, that business will go somewhere else. So we have chosen to say yes. And we've said, okay, we'll not let you suffer because our capacities are, bursting at the seams. We will take care of the extra cost to get you the product on time. That's why we do air freight.
It's effectively just a temporary phenomenon, right?
Yes. I mean, this is to ensure that we don't let the opportunity go at this crucial juncture. Then everything will rebalance once that opportunities, when the transition phase is over.
And lastly, sir, this UK piece is a small part of our overall garment. I believe it's about 10%. So maybe in the next 2-3 years, in terms of sort of say guidance, can this share of UK from 10% jump to 25-30% of our garment business?
So I wouldn't be able to predict the percentage and the timing of that percentage being reached, but it should become a much more significant part of our portfolio, and we are allocating time and effort behind doing that. See, generally, UK business has always been a garment business. And we've always been, in historically more a fabric company. So for us, because of historical reasons, UK was never a very, very big opportunity. Now that we are increasing our garmenting capacity and with this India-UK alignment through the FTA, the scenario has changed. So we have to also now sort of put in the effort to make good on this great opportunity. And we are doing that by putting the right teams in place, by engaging that whole portfolio of customers. And it will be true for both the fashion business, but also there will be an AMD component that will benefit from this, because there are some very good human protection customers that are already quite deep with us in the UK.
Great, sir. Thank you very much for the answers and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Narayan from Sunidhi Securities and Finance Limited. Please proceed.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. A couple of questions. One is, we have interacted with one consultant who has drafted the UK FTA. So he was saying that the enactment of FTA would take nearly 1 year or so there. So is it the right right thing to understand? Or secondly, to understand that you are airlifting a lot of AMDs to US. So is the Red Sea issues currently still burning, and that is the reason why we are airlifting, or any other reasons? And what is the status of the Red Sea at the moment, whether the cargo movements are coming to a normalized level or still it is creating problems?
So I'll answer UK FTA first. Yes, your information is quite correct that it may still take some time before the zero duty benefit starts to sort of accrue to the trading partners, because it still has to be ratified at various levels. But that should go through, but it's a process that takes time. Now, one good thing that has happened is between the time that the agreement has been negotiated, relatively quickly the two prime ministers have signed it. So you know, that process is over, but now there are other ratification processes that will happen. So it will take some time, but I think the certainty of that happening is good. High level of certainty that benefit will start accruing, even though it will take at least a few months to a year to start accruing. So that your information,
you were saying
the same understanding.
You are saying 1 year, sir.
Yeah, it could be 1 year. It could be little more, little less. Let's hope it's less and not more, but it does take some time. Now, coming to Red Sea has always been a problem for the last, you know, since this Israel-Palestine conflict has started, in fact. So it's been over a year since this issue. There is no change in that issue. And the route that is going to both Europe and US is around Africa, generally. That's the route that we take from India. So that has been in place. That's not the reason why we are air freighting things. The reason why we are air freighting things is to be able to ensure that we meet our customer expected dates. They need to have the goods by a certain period of time. And because we have taken opportunistic orders in order to, you know, sort of take advantage of this period when business is moving from one area to another, we have proactively decided that some products you'll have to send by air to keep everybody satisfied.
Okay. And sir, regarding this, Vande Bharat order, what we have received, long-term orders, so just to understand, what is our capability compared to the whole package of Vande Bharat in terms of your composite or industrial section? So what kind of scope we can see, if you can give some idea as to what is the current order related to any component wise?
So it is the interior of the coaches. So,
okay.
In order to have better fuel efficiency, you need to have lower weight that the engine has to pull. And composite allows you to have very good strength at very low weight. So all the interior, ceiling panel, side panel, partitions, doors, toilets, flooring panels, all of that is made out of composite.
Okay. So, any further scope you see in going forward, we will be winning maybe near to medium term in the Vande Bharat?
So, typically in every coach, about 5 to 7% of the material requirement is going to be serviced by us. This Gurpreet from the AMD division. And that's the scale at which we will be supporting this big initiative.
So is the current lack of scale what we are actually in the process of scaling up? Because as Punitbhai was saying, you know, we are adding 20% of capacity this year and next year. So is the capacity is becoming a hindrance so that, you know, we are not able to participate in the railway orders?
Not in this segment. This segment, there has been adequate capacity installed and invested about 2 years ago. And this big tender will allow us to utilize our existing capacity and enhance the utilization and fulfill over the next 3-4 years. The capital investment that Puneet Bhai has talked about are in other growth businesses in industrial and human protection.
Okay, got it. And sir, just Puneet Bhai,
just Surya.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much,
sir. Okay, I'll come there.
We take the next question from the line of Tanishk from Anti-Stoke Broking. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is, what factors are giving you confidence about the demand to remain healthy in the second half of the year? Because I think there will be higher tariffs imposed.
No, so I think the conversations that we are having and the demand and the product categories that have already shifted That is giving me confidence that, you know, we've won newer business, newer customers, and newer product categories, all of which, you know, have started already coming in, and they will ramp up over quarter two and reach the peak levels in quarter three. So, at least from sitting now, we can see that happening. Of course, there's always uncertainty in any forward-looking view. But all I can do is give you the best view that I see at this point in time. And the relative competitiveness of India currently is looking good. So that also is giving me confidence that, you know, we will be a great sourcing destination for both US, and our domestic market has been doing reasonably well. Brands, after many, many quarters, maybe 8, 9, 10 quarters of sluggish growth, is now looking, you know, more positive. So all these factors combined make me optimistic.
Okay, that's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kishore Kumar, Unify Capital. Before that, I would like to remind the participants that please limit your questions to two per participant. Kishore Kumar, please proceed.
Yeah, thanks. Sir, are you seeing retailers stocking up more in Q1, because the earlier deadline was actually July 9th? So is that the reason the company had to shift some of the shipments to the US?
No, it's purely because of our capacity, you know, situation and the timelines in which certain customers needed certain inventory. That's the reason why we had to airship. And that the reasons why those dates moved around is because of the uncertainty around tariffs. Some people wanted goods early. Some people wanted to place orders, provided we could provide them early. Because we decided to provide some orders early, some orders that were in the regular course got delayed. So all of those mismatches happen when you disrupt a normal planning cycle. And this is like one sort of very disruptive event that happened. So because of that disruption, the air freights are done. But like any disruption, that disruption runs its course and then you sort of stabilize at the new normal, which will happen. And we are adding capacities. So, you know, there's no question of this continuing beyond a very short period of time.
Got it, sir. Just a follow-up on that. How is the inventory situation in the US, sir, actually?
So right now, inventory situation is not very bad. It's actually quite favorable. The sales also, retail sales have been decent. Up to spring, the order pipeline looks good. Now we have to see what happens in summer. So the impact, and that's where the uncertainty lies. So the question is not about inventory. The question is about basic demand. What will happen to basic demand once consumers start facing the impact of the tariffs that have been imposed, right? So far, there has been no impact. But the real expensive goods are only now hitting the consumer. And they will start hitting the consumer going forward. So what is the impact on overall demand? Is there a demand reduction? To that, nobody has a good answer right now. There are many other things also happening, like tax breaks happening in the US. There will be also a differential tariff between sourcing destinations. So even if the overall demand shrinks, India might actually gain. So all of this is quite a complex sort of scenario, which we will only know when we are in it. Unfortunately, there is nobody that can predict this very well, because the final decision making hasn't happened on relative tariffs, on, you know, what is the impact of tax break, what is the impact of higher cost of goods coming in because of tariffs. All of that is still unknown. So that we have to keep watching. But broadly, logic says that India is going to be a better sourcing destination because of relative tariffs. First of all, move away from China, saturation of Bangladesh and Vietnam, which are the only large competitors, and then better relative tariff. All this put together, at least to me, sounds like a very compelling logic for India to gain, irrespective of whether there is some demand destruction or not in the US market.
Understood, sir. So my second question is on the proportion. What's the current proportion of revenues from the US? I'm presuming that the loss you have mentioned. Got it, sir. So I'm presuming that the loss that you have mentioned is actually based on the additional cost that the company incurred on freight, or it's actually also on the discount that we given on the sale price.
Also, so discount, inefficiency, and air freight. These would be the three big components.
Got it, sir. Understood. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Roshan from BNK Securities. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity. Since we are seeing too much volatility in the cotton prices of lately, so what is your outlook for the cotton going forward in terms of prices?
So the cotton market is going to be a little bullish in India because we have a 10% import duty and we have hiked up MSP quite aggressively. So prices are going to remain slightly elevated going forward for India.
Okay. In terms of other expenses, as you mentioned, there are a couple of costs that you have incurred in terms of air freight. So can we assume that this is the peak cost that is going to come the cost has peaked up
in Q2. Some of it will continue in Q2, but by Q3 okay. We will be over the hump.
Okay, understand. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shiv Kumar Prajapati from Ambit Investment Advisors. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having my question. So my first question is on AMD front. So which of the AMD sub-segments, that is human protection industries or say composite, we believe will be the fastest growing segment, and what would be the key drivers for them, and what geography are we targeting? I mean, is it the domestic or the exports? And if it's exports, then what all reasons?
So we are 60-40 export to domestic. US, Middle East, UK, Europe and Australia are all important, especially in advanced materials. All segments are poised for growth because composites we increased capacity last year. Industrial we are increasing capacity this year. Human protection we had increased capacity, but we are further increasing capacity this year. So everything, we are going to try and keep the proportion similar across all three segments. And they all should, you know, hit that high teens to 20% growth, you know, once we are over this, you know, couple of quarters of disruption.
So, sir, the mix between, say, AMD and the textile would be 80-20 going forward, and
hopefully should be becoming higher percentage because it's growing faster than the textile base. It's of course starting from a much smaller base, and we are investing heavily in textiles also in garmenting, but overall textiles will be growing at, you know, low double digits, 12% kind of level, and if we are able to achieve our vision of 20% AMD growth, then mathematically it will gain share.
And so what could be the peak margins, EBITDA margins for AMD?
So right now we are saying 15% because you know, we are also investing heavily on capability building. New factories are coming online. There will be, you know, sort of scaling up losses in some places. So in a fast growth area, we are not chasing margin so much. We are investing in capability, people, and capacities ahead of what when they are required. So ideally, once operating leverage comes, this business should be in the 18% to 20% margin bucket. But while we are in this high growth phase, that's not our first priority. We will prioritize growth over margin improvement.
Understood, sir. And sir, with the second question is Reliance and Aditya Birla doubling down their, you know, integrated textile retail chains. So does Arvind see itself competing in similar value chains, or are we looking for any partnerships with them? Any thoughts on this?
So we have a very strong B2C business. It's almost 1,000 crores, where we have a direct-to-consumer distribution business under the Arvind and Ankur brands, and we have the Arvind store. So all of that put together is about 1,000 crores and growing quite well and doing extremely well. So this quarter also we grew about 20%, and you know the yearly forecast is also high teens for this business, B2C as a proportion. So it's almost it's a 10-12% of our overall turnover. So that business
okay.
is there, and it's a focus area for us.
Understood, sir. And sir, my last question may be that with denim demand stabilizing, but the competition is increasing. So how are we able to, you know, defend the realization? Is it through the branding or some client stickiness?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question.
So, sir, the denim demand has been, you know, stabilized, but the competition is increasing in this segment. But still, ICT...
actually, we are doing better. After many quarters, mm-hmm. we have crossed, we've almost done 14 million this first quarter, and next quarter also, it looks more like 15 million. So, demand is robust. Of course, for us, the competition is mostly in the domestic market, where we have reduced our exposure. So for us, it's a denim business is much higher on exports quantities. Plus, in the domestic market, we are working with, you know, high-end brands. So in that segment, the competition is not as bad.
Understood, sir. And sir, what percentage of inventory today would be dead or non-moving? This was the last one from us, sir.
So there is no concern on non-moving inventory.
Okay, great, sir. Thank you so much. Best of luck.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, we take the last question from the line of Smit Shah from GHP Securities. Please proceed.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, sorry, I missed it. How much of the total revenues do you get from the US?
35%.
Okay, and sir, what I wanted to understand was that when India was at a baseline tariff of 10%, we had to take maybe a 200 or a 300 bips impact on the margins. So if the tariffs going forward go up to, say, somewhere between 20 to 25%...
We've only taken up 100 bips... sort of impact. So not even 100 bips. So it's not that large. And it will get compensated in other ways because good and interesting business is moving to us.
Okay, so but sir, when the tariffs go up to 20-25%, how much of the impact will be borne by us and how much will be borne by the wholesaler or the retailer and how much will be passed on to the end consumer?
I think most of the what has to be passed on has been passed on. I don't think the supply chain has more ability than this to pass on. So most of it will have to be borne by the consumer. That said, we will look at it from a case-to-case basis and see how it is of interest to us or not. There is just too much uncertainty right now, and we'll have to see what happens. It will also depend on relative tariffs. If somebody else has higher tariff than us, then 25 will start looking very good. So it will depend on relative tariff rather than absolute tariff. So I think we all will have to be patient and wait till all the final decisions are made with all the bilateral trade agreements. And it's frustrating, but we have to just wait. There is no other option.
Okay, sir, understood. And sir, the 35% exposure to the US that on a quarterly basis comes to around 700 crores. So the 15 crore impact that you said was because of the tariffs and all. So based on that, you come to a 200 bip, I think, impact.
No. So that 15% is overall in the company. Because of US disruption, it doesn't mean that the disruption is only on US orders. It could be on any order, right? Because our machines don't distinguish that this is a US order, this is a UK order. So it's plant level inefficiency. So I think this is not the right way to calculate. Overall, there is a 15-20 crore impact across the whole company because of disruption related to the supply chain getting disrupted. Let's not ascribe it to any geography.
Okay, sir. Understood. That's all from my side. Thank you so much and all the best, sir.
Thanks. Thank you, everyone. See you next quarter.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Satya Prakash, sir, for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much once again for taking your time out to attend the call. Looking forward to meeting you in upcoming conferences and have a great evening. Thank you.
On behalf of Arvind Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.